Blog Talk Radio.
An absolutely gorgeous evening here. No, it isn't. Nah, it's sucky weather here in New York City. I'm inside my house. Wow, you know, it's amazing. It's like 5:30 and it's like dark out already. Whew, how weird. But anyway, but I'm going to have a good show. Oh, yeah. Before that, my sponsor, wait a second.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
And you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. Oh, I just thought of a fabulous idea to do with the brownies. Well, what I'm going to do is... I am going to tell this. They did not understand. The audience did not understand what you just said. See, the idea I'm going to have, you see, now they got these ice cream pops, okay? Now, they're called Buzz Bars. We're going to talk about this, that infuse with real alcohol. Now, I'm thinking about having this on top of, taking it off of the pop and now putting on top of the brownie. That sounds good. What do you think of that, Amy?
I love that idea. I was thinking, what is she going to say? I actually was at an event for the Larry King, launching of the Larry King bar, and the press there were having so much fun making it adult cookies and cream while they were dipping their Larry King Merlot and berry bar into Cabernet and mixing that. That was kind of fun, too.
By the way, that's the only one that doesn't have a chocolate shell, right?
No, there's one more that doesn't have a chocolate. That one is our vegan bar, and we also have another vegan bar, which is the citrus berry drop, and that's awesome. It's with raspberry, sorbet, and vodka.
Did I have that? Did I get that one?
Yeah, maybe you ate too many citrus, and you forgot.
Citrus berry drop with lemon,
yes.
With lemon drop sorbet and lemon vodka. That's the one. Okay.
Exactly. And
those would be good. Yeah. Well, actually, you could still be having the added chocolate over the
right.
Over
oh my
the
God!
Brownie
yeah.
ain't so bad either. Especially. Wait a minute. Especially the one. The one with the, Bourbon Street chocolate?
Oh, my God. Is that not delicious?
Well, because you already have, you got your chocolate ice cream. It's like a little cake over a brownie.
With a little buzz.
With a little buzz. Okay, anyway, introduce yourself to my audience and tell us about the company.
Well, hello, New York. I love New York. I was there a couple of months ago, and I truly, truly miss it, even in these cold winter days. So there you go. I'm in California, and I am director of marketing for this brand new company called Buzz Bar. We just launched at the New York City Fancy Food Show in July, and we are very excited to be chosen again to be their number one startup for 2015 at the next show in January in San Francisco.
Okay, so tell us what these Buzz Bars are about, and like, well, there's alcohol in each of them. I mean, okay, how much alcohol so people can get? Like, how much alcohol is in a bar?
Right. So each, as most of us who indulge in our alcoholic favorites, understand that if you take a bottle of vodka and put it in the freezer, it won't freeze. It just gets chilled to the perfect point of a martini. So it really depends on the bars. They what will freeze. So it really, our woman chef, by the way, it's a woman, created just as much alcohol as the actual formula will take for each different bar. So they all vary in the alcohol.
But not like a whole ounce. Not that much.
No, not a whole ounce. In the wine, yes. In the wine bar, yes.
There's an ounce in the wine?
Yes.
The one with the wine. Oh, really?
I believe so. Yes, and that one definitely, you have one of those. Please do not have one in the middle of the day if you're at work, because I personally had one in the middle of the day. They're so delicious that I was like, oh, my God, I didn't realize I was going to actually get quite as buzzed as I did, and I did, but yes. But the other bars definitely are basically having the most delicious. It's like Reese's peanut butter cups, taking peanut butter and getting chocolate and putting them together and getting your two favorite things, alcohol and ice cream. And it's great.
Now, do we get the name of the person who invented this?
Well, actually, the person who invented this or who came up with it is Randall Freeman, and he is one of the owners of Buzz Bar. And he came up with this idea because he was like all of us, most inventive people in the last few years, was thinking about what can I do next in this wonderful time of economy. And he said, what is lacking in the industry? And he was joking around, and basically they came up with this great idea. And then coming up with this great idea was the impossibility of finding the perfect chef who could actually make this a reality. So that took quite some time. And then after that, and I, you know, just know it's a brand new adult dessert, so it didn't really fall in any category. And they thought they were going to be distributed by alcohol companies. When they found that alcohol companies don't have frozen trucks, they had to turn to ice cream distributors who didn't have alcohol license in certain states. So that's been a long haul, and it finally has come to fruition.
Yeah, I kept thinking about that in terms of buying this, like, in a store. I mean, is there mm-hmm. are any stores? You
yes.
only have to
well,
buy it online.
Yes, no, we're starting to branch out. I know in New York City or in Queens, in those areas, they're just starting to get distribution in that area. But the best thing that we advise, especially for the holiday season, basically is to go online and order online. We have beautiful 12 boxes, actually 12 case gift boxes, and they you can get the variety box, which is called Simon's Party, which has two bars of each flavor except for the Larry King bar, and then or you can get a box of 12 of just one individual flavor, and those are called, you can also get a box that just has the vegan bars, which is the Larry King bar and also the Citrus Berry bar. So there's three ways to order it online right now. And they come gift wrapped, and they get delivered between, I believe, the 14th and 24th of December. So if you're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas or whatever holiday you happen to be celebrating, we can, and you know, and also for New Year's Eve, it's a great, fun gift for even for a hostess. If you're going to a Christmas party, you're going to a Hanukkah party, you're going to just a house party, an office party, they'll be the hit of the office party, I can tell you that.
I'm sure.
So, yeah. So those are different ways, and they come, like I said, already gift wrapped, and they come in dry ice when there's not a weather problem. They get their way.
Or people stealing the stuff off your stoop, the FedEx.
Hello. Yes. Especially if they know. And mark that it is an adult product, so
somebody
definitely, when you go on.
For it.
Yes, you have to be 21 to enter the site, and you have to be 21 to be able to buy them. But for people who have everything and you're looking for the it gift, it's a great novelty gift. Guarantee nobody else is going to be buying your dad a box of Buzz Bars, and what a great, fun gift, you know, rather than that old tie.
Now, the question is, because I was trying to figure this out, let's say I went to, and I'm saying like Fairway Market,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going, oh, I'd like to buy this. Where would I actually buy it? I mean, like, where is it placed?
Right. So that's a good question, because it depends on the stores. Like the Dean and DeLuca's, they probably, Buzz Bar has our own freezers. So in specialty
okay.
stores like the Dean and DeLuca's, you probably would find a Buzz Bar freezer, either a countertop or a floor freezer, depending on, I know, especially in the city, there's such limited space, so it depends. Then also, in some markets, like we have specialty stores out here in California, they're just in the regular freezer section. And when you go through the line, it's marked just like alcohol. It's when it goes through the cashier or the cash register, it's asked for 21 ID.
Oh, because I was kind of wondering about that. I mean, somebody, you know, goes into, looks there and sees that and says, oh, whoa, there's some alcohol in it. You know, I think I'll get it. And they're not 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be easier. Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, it'd be easier and easy for kids. It's like, I guess, it's like wine coolers. Do they have to be
yeah,
checked?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the same thing that wine coolers would be. And, you know, anything that would require 21 ID, this is
okay.
Buzz Bar does as well.
Okay. But probably the best thing right now is to go online.
You want the best gift, the most fun, the most innovative gift for the holidays. Go to www.buzzbaricecream.com, and
okay.
you will be the hit of the party.
Now, the first question that I need to ask then, this one here, the Larry King, because it's the berry which sorbet has Merlot wine. The question
mm-hmm.
is, can we use this and say the prayer over the wine for the holidays?
Hello. It depends if you're kosher. It depends if you're Orthodox. But in my family, it would be the perfect bar to use, the perfect wine to use.
Can you imagine having this, four of these for Passover, if you're not, if you don't
if you're
care
reformed,
that they're not kosher for
sure.
Passover?
Hello. It's definitely the best Passover wine you could possibly have, right?
Yeah. Then
you
won't have to worry about
it.
Having four. All right. Oh, my God, I have to have another one. What a shame.
Yeah, right. Okay. So you put the bar in when the service for Passover starts, you just open the bar, put it in the glass, and as it melts, it'll be ready for the next sip.
Yeah, that's
And then you take your matzah chaser.
Yeah, right. Now, let's go into each of these flavors so we could describe. Okay, so the Larry King is, what kind of berries is it? Berry sorbet.
It's all mixed berries. By the way, as you know, this is an all natural product, and basically in the Larry King bar, which he gets certain proceeds goes to his cardiac foundation, and this is good for your heart health. It's all antioxidants, so it's all raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, and they're so delicious because they're not crushed up, or basically they are crushed up. They're not made into a smoothie. So when you take in, they're smashed into, when I said smashed, I thought about that Lucy show when she's smashing the berries for the wine, the grapes for the wine. But I don't see Larry King doing that. But anyway, they're smashed berries with top shelf Merlot, California Merlot wine. And they are, I shouldn't say, but it's one of my favorite bars. They are so delicious. And you know you're eating something really healthy, and they're under 100 calories each bar.
Well, that's a good thing.
Now, don't ask about the calories on the other bars, but that one is a good one.
Okay. All right, let's go. The next one is the Buzz Cafe.
The Buzz Cafe. Now we're talking. The Buzz Cafe is delicious. It's natural coffee ice cream mixed with Irish cream, and it's covered with delicious Italian dark chocolate. And
oh, that was the question.
Awesome.
So all of the shells, the chocolate shells, are all Italian dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Why? Any specific reason why they picked that one as opposed to Belgian or whatever? Or they just
for the ingredients, because we wanted it to be really natural. They went with that one, and they also. The other reason was the chef liked the taste of the dark chocolate, the bitter sweet chocolate as opposed to milk chocolate, but we will be going into expanding some of these bars with milk chocolate as well, just for that milk chocolate lover.
Oh,
so,
okay.
As we grow,
yeah,
we just launched.
I find it very, I don't mind, darker the better, but I find it like a dark chocolate, like that it sits nice, like. Great to pick it off before you eat it.
Hello. We know that you are a dark chocolate lover. Hello. That's so funny. You see? Yeah, exactly.
Now,
that's how somebody eats an Oreo. Someone eats the middle of the Oreo first. And saves
yeah,
the
right.
chocolate to the outside for last.
Okay. Now we get the next one is the Blitzed Berry with Strawberry Ice Cream and Rum.
Yes, that is so delicious. That is all natural strawberry ice cream, and it's got fresh strawberries in it as well. That is actually smoothed out, and that is with top shelf rum, and again coated with our delicious Italian dark chocolate.
Okay, can I ask you something about the chocolate? Because on the ingredients it just says chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any palm oil in the chocolate?
No, it's vegetable oil that they use in that particular chocolate.
Oh, okay. The reason I ask is when it comes to things that are frozen, when it comes to like if you ever had Ben and Jerry's ice cream and you have, mm-hmm. chocolate pieces in it, all the chocolate has palm oil in it, and
mm-hmm.
because they need to, so you don't crack your teeth.
Exactly. This one, I actually asked the chocolate manufacturer because I was going to be prepared for your question.
Oh, good.
and he said that it's fractionated vegetable fats.
Okay, so they're using something different to make it so you don't break your teeth.
Yeah, it's probably that you don't break your teeth, and also because the alcohol content, we had to find the right chocolate to be able to freeze correctly. So
right.
So it went through many stages of tests and mixologists.
But the Irish cream does have
mm-hmm.
Palm oil, doesn't it?
The Irish cream bar?
Well,
the
yeah.
The Irish cream itself.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not sure. You know what? If someone's concerned about palm oil, I cannot for sure give that answer on the Irish cream itself.
Okay. It's not, what
so
happens,
if you're concerned about palm oil, please check your,
okay,
the ingredients of Irish cream. I can't give – it's the top shelf Irish cream that we do use.
Mm-hmm.
So just check one of their bottles.
Okay.
That would be my advice.
And the reason I say that is from with me, it's something that I can detect. When palm oil is in something, it's like I not only detect it, I go – oh, there's palm oil. You just killed the chocolate. You just killed whatever. Because I guess in my palate, it overrides. So I detect it. So things like Irish cream, they use palm oil in that.
Interesting.
Okay.
I did
anyway,
not know
but
that.
Any of those, a lot of those things, those cream liquors, they use palm oil in it.
Palm oil.
Okay. So now the
I
next
never worry
Bourbon
about
Street
that. I'm just
chocolate.
Like. Give me another one. Hello. No.
Oh, God. Bourbon Street chocolate.
Oh. The Bourbon Street chocolate. Well, that is definitely exactly what it sounds like. It is definitely created for Mardi Gras and down there in New Orleans and just having a party in your mouth. It is probably one of the best chocolate ice creams you'll ever taste, and that's that one is mixed with whiskey and the delicious chocolate coating. And that's another, now you're hitting on another one of my favorites. I mean, if you're a chocolate lover, am I wrong, Merle? If you're a chocolate lover, this is like, forget
that's
about
the one
it.
For you.
Yeah, that's the one for you, definitely.
And I liked the ice cream itself, too.
Yeah, that one, I have to say this because I am a wine drinker for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when I was trying the different bars for the first time, I was like, oh, you know, because I'm not a heavy alcohol drinker or hard alcohol drinker, I should say. I was like, I don't wonder if I'll like these. But you do not have to like alcohol to like these bars. For the Bourbon Street chocolate, I believe it only... I said whiskey, but it's bourbon only enhances the taste of the chocolate. It's unbelievable.
And I have to agree that that's what I found with these ice creams. Again, I'm also not one. I get drunk on scotch tape.
You're funny. I'm going to use that line.
And it's bad enough when I have rye bread, too. Anyway,
stay away from the combination
like
of scotch tape and rye bread.
Hell, wow. But anyway, then there's the citrus berry drop with the raspberry lemon and lemon drop sorbet and lemon. Oh my God!
Now
that
is that
so
not
good.
Awesome too? And again, vegan. So I stress this because we know. We are a happily vegan friendly company. As a matter of fact, the next three flavors, which I'm not going to discuss, we'll discuss it with Merle next time when they're coming out after the beginning of the year, are all vegan friendly and they're all sorbets. But this one again is a vegan friendly sorbet, and it is just like having a cosmopolitan on a stick, and it's delicious. And if you are not a drinker even, as my husband, he's not a drinker at all, but he would much prefer having a citrus berry drop to just a normal popsicle, say. And he's like, okay, and I get a little kick, too. So there you go.
Then we got the drunken cookie.
Okay, now we're talking. You like the taste of alcohol, and you like cookies, and you like ice cream, forget about it. Right?
Yes.
It is like a cookie in every bite, and the ice cream is melts in your mouth, and it's just, and then that chocolate that you like to pick off first to eat, save some for the bites with the bar, because it's together.
Yes,
yeah,
you
got
to
eat
that. You have to have in bites with the bar.
Right on.
And then the last one has the vanilla days with vanilla ice cream and cognac.
Yes.
What a great after dinner drink.
Right? Hello. Have your after dinner. And that's what we even say to a lot of people. It's like, instead of having your after, here's the good news. Have your after dinner drink and your dessert together so you're saving your calories. And you're getting
yes.
that, and you're continuing your buzz and you're saving your calories by combining the two.
Right. And I want to let people know, you're not going to get drunk on these things. You'll get a buzz.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry for interrupting you, Merle, but it's like, you know, I have a glass or two of wine for dinner, with dinner, and then this is the topper, and it just, you know, it just really is a beautiful feeling, and it's not, again, like you said, going to get someone off their rocker, but it's definitely a dessert with a kick, and again, probably one of the best holiday surprises you could bring to a party or send to a loved one, because they're just so much fun and completely natural, and for the alcohol ice cream lover, you're not going to find anything better.
Oh no, not this. I think it's such a hoot. And by the way, like in terms of like the decision on what alcohol should go with what of these. Was that an experiment to say, like, oh, this one goes better with cognac?
No. Oh, my gosh. You can have so much fun with these. I had a party over the summer, and we took the bars, and we just made blended drinks by the pool. So we took the ice cream off the stick and put them in the blender. And, like, for instance, your favorite, the Bourbon Street chocolate, we
mm-hmm.
put banana liqueur in there.
Oh,
and
my
we added a little more bourbon, and we added heavy cream. Okay, we're not worrying about the calories on this one. Okay, but that blended, and then on the side of the cup, you put a little piece of banana, and some chocolate sprinkles on top of whipped cream. Hello.
Have you ever had a drink called a banshee?
Have I? It sounds familiar. I'm not sure if I have or not.
Banshee is one part white creme de coco, one part
mm-hmm.
banana liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
Not banana liqueur. Creme de banana.
Oh.
And two parts cream.
Okay, so next time you make it, add one of the buzz bars to it.
Wait,
I'm going to be sending you more.
Well, that's almost what this thing that you said.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the chocolate, only this was white creme de coco, as a banana
uh-huh.
liqueur. It works better with creme de banana, I understand, than a banana liqueur, but it's still, you know, kind of the same. And two parts cream, so it's
very similar. Yeah, like you said, but you want to. So, but we definitely added some extra cream because you needed it to be a little. If we didn't do it, it was a little too thick. And then
yes.
to add that much more alcohol, you really wouldn't need more than one drink.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty potent at that point.
But in terms of, like, the decision, like, to decide that the coffee buzz should have Irish cream or the, you know, which one should have which liquor, was that the experiment to see that, let's say, the vanilla days, they decide it should have cognac as opposed to something else?
Absolutely. Well, these are the first flavors, and it really was what the chef was able to do as a mixologist, really as a chemist, because, again, at the beginning when I started talking to you about freezing alcohol, it was really she was really needing to learn how to make it freeze and taste good. And so that's why she's continuing. As I speak, I see her in her little laboratory as she's creating all these different flavors and practicing before they are ready to go out to market, to see how long they freeze for, you know, and what shelf life they have. So that goes into it, because of course there will be other, bars that come out with rum. There will be other bars that come out with cognac.
Okay.
I'll just give, and then just to give you guys a hint, in the spring we will be bringing out just the Majestic Mango, which will be with rum, and the Pineapple Buzz, which is also with rum, and then we're going to have the Mojito Madness, the Majestic Mango is with tequila. The Pineapple Buzz is with rum, and the Mojito Madness is with rum as well. So those will be something to look forward to. Those are all sorbet. And so those are her next chemistry tests that have turned out perfect, and those will be the next. But that will be something to look forward to. And yes, we're going to be also in some of the better specialty stores in New York, across New York, after the holidays.
Great. This is fabulous. Well, by the way, I have this already in this week's Queens Times tomorrow, that you'll have the,
awesome.
That this is already going to be in the paper about this.
You rock. We love you. We really appreciate it. And we really would love people to let us know on Facebook, once you get them, what you feel about them. Maybe you have a suggestion of different flavors you'd like to be tried, different ideas of what we should call them. It's really just about fun in this time that we're living in, of everybody having tough times, and just bringing in people to give them natural treats and put a smile on your face and
okay.
have fun with your friends. So,
okay.
So there's my words.
Okay, Amy, it was great talking with you. Maybe we'll get together in Italy.
Yes, the next one, you know we will, and that's a whole other story. But
okay.
Is it okay if I repeat the website one more time?
Oh, yeah, it's actually on, not only that, on the description on the radio, I have the the website. People can just, when they go to it, they can click it on, and it'll go right to buzzbaricecream.com.
Right on. And please, anyone who's listening in Radio Land, please give me your comments. I really look forward to talking to you and hearing your thoughts.
Okay.
So happy holidays, happy and healthy New Year to everyone.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Meryl.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay. So now we're going to go from talking about ice cream to going to Charleston, South Carolina. Okay. Are you there? Okay. Well, I don't know. You. Okay. I hope you call back. Well, we're looking at Charleston, South Carolina, because they have various tours going on. But the company called Bulldog Tours has a culinary tour, and not only that takes you around for the tastes of the what's called low country cuisine, they're able to give you history of the area as well. And hopefully, let's see, do I have, okay, let's see.
Hello.
Do I have Kathy?
Yes, this is Kathy Henson, Charleston, South Carolina, for Bulldog Tours. How are you?
Oh, just absolutely fine.
Wonderful.
So here's, the article's already been out.
Oh, okay.
I was hoping that you'd see it, but you weren't the one who took us around, but that's okay.
That's quite all right. I'm sure you had a lovely time.
Oh, we
and
did.
Who was your guide when you were here?
Fran.
Fran? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, she's a great guide. We've been doing these things for a very long time.
Well, what I want to do is talk to we're going to, like, go on the tour so we can, you know.
So we want to take a tour, a culinary tour, when you come to Charleston.
Okay, but what we're going to do, we're going to have you take me on the tour on the radio.
That sounds fun. I can take you on the tour on the radio. Now, do you have 2.5 hours on the radio?
Well, I don't have 2.5 hours.
See, that's the thing. When you were here, it wasn't just a snap, was it?
No.
No, but we will give you a little rundown of what we do.
Okay.
Because it's a very entertaining tour. It's a lot of fun, and you learn a lot of information about Charleston and about food history. So that's basically what our tour is all about, to introduce you to Charleston and why we eat the way we do. And it's always fun, and I'm certain that you had a good time when you were here. So when we take our tours, we visit several restaurants, we visit some shops that are related to food, but we begin our journey at Dixie Supply Bakery and Cafe, which is a great little spot in Charleston where you can have breakfast or lunch, and we have some offerings there. But it's really all about understanding why we eat grits, why we love shrimp and grits, why we use local resources, but basically how we eat and why we eat the way we do, because it's very specific to those who settled in Charleston and established Low Country cuisine. So we're talking about the English, the Native Americans, and the French, and the Africans. All of those things blend together, brought to a plate, and generally speaking, everyone is happy.
So when we started, we started that we had grits and sweet tea.
You had grits and sweet tea. Well, you see, I'm a firm believer that everyone who comes to Charleston should never leave the city without having sweet tea. And most people are a little put off by sweet tea, but it really is more of a focus on the tea than it is the sweet, and people get really confused by that. But sweet tea is wonderful. We drink it all the time. It's kind of like a cup of water for us. We just keep a glass of tea in hand. It's just one of those things that we do. And the grits, of course, the grits originated many years ago when the Africans taught the English how to grind the corn. And from that point forward, it's just been the staple breakfast item. But now, of course, you can bring it to the table for lunch and dinner as well. If you top it with some shrimp, everyone is happy.
So, and you never have instant grits. That's not the right thing, right?
You should never buy instant grits. Instant grits, now, you can, if you really are in a hurry and you want to do that, you know, quick stuff that you can put in the microwave, it's done in like 2 minutes, that's okay if you're in a hurry. But you should never deliberately every single day make instant grits, because it's not grits. It must be stone ground grits. It is a very specific product, because you want that texture of the grits. You want it to, you know, you want it to have a mouthfeel. And
right.
Grit certainly does have a mouthfeel. And at Dixie, they're extraordinarily good because they use heavy cream in the preparation. And, of course,
yes,
the two requirements that I always tell people, there are two absolute requirements for grits. You must have a generous amount of salt, and you must have butter. If you don't have those two things, people are not going to be happy with their grits. It goes back to that element of fat.
They were definitely creamy.
Yes, indeed. They are extremely creamy and absolutely wonderful. The minute they hit your palate, you know that, you know, you're in a good spot. And a lot of people don't know that, because a lot of people have negative thoughts about grits, and those have to be dispelled when they come down south, because it's clearly not that way.
Well, you
and
know,
then we take you over to a cook shop, right?
Yeah, that was the next
We take you over to this lovely cook shop, Charleston Cooks, which is a local shop. I absolutely adore it because it's not too large that you can get lost in it. Everything is kind of at eye level where you can see it, and there are extraordinary things to learn when you're there because, you know, not too many people know that, you know, Charleston was a major rice-growing region, so rice was one of our local exports from the area along with others, but that was one of the things that made a great deal of wealth for Charleston, which set us apart from other areas of the country. So we don't feel that a southern
Carolina
table.
Carolina rice.
Pardon?
Carolina rice.
Carolina gold rice. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Carolina gold rice. And believe me, today there are still a lot of people who live in this area who feel that a table is not completely set until the rice comes to it. So it's still one of those things that we believe in and it's all in our history. It's all in what we're accustomed to. Everything that we do in Charleston is according to our history and tradition and the way we grew up and what we're familiar with and what we're comfortable with. And,
you know,
of course, you're introduced to tea
yeah.
in the shop because you have the tea that is made locally, grown locally. That's the one thing about tea in Charleston that we get to enjoy, locally grown tea. We've been growing tea in the area since the 1800s, and today we have the only tea plantation in the country. So it's on Wadmalaw Island. The Charleston Tea Plantation produces American classic tea. So a lot of unique things about Charleston.
Oh. You know,
so did you
just
enjoy Charleston cooks when you were here?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. I just, like, in my head, because I forgot about this. You know, that Carolina rice used to be commercial all the time. I don't see that anymore.
And they still market Carolina Gold rice, and we still have locations in South Carolina that produce Carolina Gold, but Carolina Gold is still marketed in other areas as well, so it's identified. People
okay.
know it because they've heard of it before. But it was an extraordinary rice, and sadly we don't grow as much of it as we used to because we had large numbers of plantations in South Carolina that were rice plantations, so it was
oh.
a staple. A staple crop. From, of course, Charleston Cooks, we take you over to the
well,
Spice
well, let
and
me
tea
ask
exchange.
You a question in regards
yes.
to Charleston Cooks, because we talked about, while we were there, we were talking about tomato pie and the pimento cheese.
Ah, well, you see, I talk about tomato pie when I'm at Dixie because one of their specialties is tomato pie. And tomato pie is one of those extraordinary things that you won't find on most menus in most establishments. You'll find them in very specific or very special locations because it's really a labor of love making tomato pie. That's not pizza in any way, shape, or form. Tomato pie is a deep dish pie crust layered with cheese and tomatoes all the way to the top. And then, of course, you top it off with something nice that will melt down into the cheese and tomatoes and bake it off. And that, in and of itself, is one of the finest meals you could have. Tomato pie. It's absolutely extraordinary. Did you go back and try tomato pie while you were there?
No, we didn't get a chance. Now I'm dying
well,
to try that now.
See, you're going to have to make a trip to Charleston just for all of these reasons.
There's plenty I haven't seen that I'll go back
That's
for.
That's exactly right. You need to come and spend lots of time where you can just wander around at your own leisure and enjoy.
Well,
but the other thing is,
yeah, I was going to say, because of the season and because of when I went, there wasn't really any opportunity for anything in the arts.
Ah, what time of the year did you come?
A couple of weeks ago. I just. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
but
well, you're right.
Ago.
You're right. There wasn't much going on at that point. It was before the holidays started, so, yeah, you were kind of at one of those blank periods whenever Charleston
yeah.
has very, very little going on outside. So, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come back whenever there's a lot of activity going on.
That's what I'm going to have to do, especially since JetBlue is charging like $65 or something like that one way.
Oh, we can't beat that.
From JFK.
That's exactly right. You can't beat that. That's perfect reason to come. You just can't deny yourself that trip when you've got such an affordable fare.
Now, tell us about this thing with pimento cheese. That's
okay.
also a staple.
Now, did you have pimento cheese when you were here?
Yes, that I did.
Okay, and how did you like pimento cheese?
Well, I think it depended on who was making it, and sometimes it was a little, not spicy. I think the cheese, I'm not big on a, what do you call it? Not that it's age. What's the word? When it's not mild, you know, when it's strong.
Well, you okay, if it's a strong cheese, you're not into strong cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it does depend on the type of cheese that you use to make your pimento cheese. Most people will stick to certain types of cheese, usually a cheddar in the mild to sharp range. Sometimes people
sharp,
go,
that's the word.
You know, the
yeah.
extra sharp root. That kind of, you have to really temper an extra sharp cheese. It just kind of gives you a little But if you stick with a mild, then you're going to have a pretty nice pimento cheese. However, you can get really excited with your pimento cheese, which is what I do, and I use a large family of cheeses. I use a lot of different cheeses in my pimento cheese. I don't just stick with cheddar cheese. I use Swiss and Gruyere, throw in a little Parmesan. So I get really happy when I make my pimento cheese. But you can find pimento cheese just like shrimp and grits that is as unique as the person who makes it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not specific to one thing. So you can put olives in it. You can put a lot of things in it if you want to. I like to stick with kind of basic, but I just like to get excited with the cheese.
Now, I'm very curious in terms of the pimentos. Do people basically get a jar of pimentos to do this?
You can, but basically speaking, they don't offer a lot to the pimento cheese. So if you're making it at home, it is just as easy, and it's much more flavorful if you roast your red peppers.
Okay,
and then
that's
chop
what
them
I
up
do.
And
that's
put them
what I was
in.
Wondering.
Yeah, roasted red peppers are absolutely wonderful in pimento cheese. They give it a little zing that the standard pimentos do not, because they get really soft too when they sit for a while in a jar.
Yeah.
So you want something that's got a tiny little bit of texture, and your roasted red peppers tend to do that.
Okay. What I tend to do is after I roast the red peppers, I take off the skins,
yes,
and then
take
I
off
throw
the skin.
Then I throw the peppers into some, not a jar, just something, and I throw in the refrigerator, and then the next day, all the juices come out. I don't have to put any.
Yeah, they do release their juices, and that's a very wise thing to do. And that way you can just leave them in that jar. You use what you want, and you put them back in the jar, and they'll last for a little while in your refrigerator. So you can, you know, keep them for a little while. So you can roast two or three at a time and then put them in.
Okay.
And that way you'll have your peppers ready to make your pimento cheese anytime you want.
Yeah.
I know. It's always wonderful when you can whip up some pimento cheese and you can sit down and enjoy it on a cracker.
Oh, yeah.
Have you tried it on a hamburger?
Yeah, it's true.
It's
I
wonderful
think
on a hamburger.
We also had... At Charleston Cook's, we also had Benny.
You had Benny wafers. Yes, Benny wafers. That is a Charleston production. It's pretty specific to our area. I'm sure that there are some knockoffs somewhere, but they did originate in Charleston. They're very, very thin wafer cookies, very sweet, and they have the addition of what typically people would call sesame seeds.
Mm-hmm.
But here locally, they're referred to as Benny seeds because that's the original Gullah name, the African name for the sesame seed. But it is a delightful little sweet cookie that is totally unexpected. Most people pop them in their mouth and they have no idea what to expect. And they get this nice little light nuttiness from the sesame seed.
Uh-huh.
Many people think it's rice, but it's definitely not rice. It's that Benny seed. And they're lovely. And home bakers have the opportunity to make them. There's only one problem with making them. They're not like typical cookies that you can walk away from the stove. When you pop them in the oven and close the door of the oven, you do not walk away from your oven. You pull up a chair, turn on the oven light, and watch. It'll take less than 5 minutes for the cookie to bake.
Oh,
and you have to pull it out quickly, get it off the pan, because if you don't, it's going to continue to cook, it's going to continue to turn brown, and before you know it, you're going to have an overly brown Benny wafer.
Oh, okay.
And that's something you don't want.
Well.
And then, of course, in our journey, we go over to Spice and Tea. Did you enjoy that? Because that's one of my favorite places in Charleston.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing of all the things that they had.
Oh, it's an amazing walk in. The smells immediately hit you. And then, of course, you have the pleasure of opening the jars and smelling everything. And you get that appreciation for what it's like to be in the kitchen and avail yourselves of so many different choices. Endless possibilities originate from herbs and spices. It's just absolutely amazing.
And there
one of my favorite places.
Yeah, we had a tea that they were preparing.
Yes. They do have specialty teas, flavor-infused teas that are absolutely amazing that really keep the flavor of the tea in the cup. So like most tea drinkers, you buy a tea and then you brew it and then you drink it and you wonder what happened to the, you know, the flavor that you were looking for, and it somehow disappeared. Those teas are exceptional teas. They're absolutely wonderful. And I live by the herbs and spices and the custom blends, because I quite frankly, the first time I was introduced to the spice and tea, I went home and threw everything away because I felt so bad that I'd had my herbs and spices far longer than I should have.
Ah, yes.
So I just purged everything at home and started from scratch.
Yeah, and I don't blame you.
You know, people don't think about those things, and I certainly was one of those that didn't think about those things. I never even considered the fact that there was a shelf life on herbs and spices. And, boy, when I walked out of that shop that day, my head was hung in shame. I said, I can't believe I've done this.
Yeah, then we also had a few of the green tea mints. That was
Oh, yes, those are quite nice as well. And, of course, many things are – what most people don't realize is that many things can be made with tea. You can use tea as a rub. You can incorporate tea into a variety of herbs and spices and use as a rub. You can use it to make sauces. It's kind of interesting, the uses for tea that most people don't consider.
Yeah,
and
that's
clearly,
something I wanted to look into, to do that.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that there is a wealth of information out there that can help you do that. And we'll have to explore that together sometime.
I'm into rooibos tea.
I've never heard of that.
Rooibos tea is from South Africa.
Oh, is it very good? Very flavorful?
It's an herbal tea. There's no tea leaves.
Mm-hmm.
It's from a honey bush.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a slight sweetness to it,
mm-hmm.
And it has more antioxidants than blueberries.
Well, there you go. That's the reason why you are leaning toward that tea. Anything with health benefits is the way to go.
No, actually, I was leaning toward the tea because I had gone on a trip to South Africa, and that was the first time I had the tea, and I got nervous thinking it'll never be in the United States.
And where do you find it?
Oh, it's all over. I think they
now
have,
it's all over. I'm going to have to look that one up.
So they have at this place, the Spice and Tea Exchange. They had, I think, only two of them. A lot of places tend to do infusions of them. Like they have a chai rooibos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm not plain. Right. I'm not really big on the herb. I guess I'm so stuck in my, you know, iced tea, sweet tea thing that we do in Charleston that I don't really explore herbals too much.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of a purist when it comes to that. I kind of stick to what I grew up with.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that odd?
That's okay.
So
and
let
then
me ask
we,
you this.
We went
How did you
to
like
the
Shucks?
Market Street Suites.
Yes, we went to Market Street Suites, but we also went to A.W. Shucks.
Well, A.W. Shucks was after.
Ah, so you did A.W. Shucks at the end.
Toward the end, yeah.
Okay. Well, how did you like Market Street Suites? Because the caramel there is better than any caramel I've ever had anywhere.
Well, we didn't taste what we would taste. They were preparing batches of the peanut brittle while we were going.
Mm-hmm.
Had pralines.
Always have the pralines.
Sugar-coated pecans and bear claws.
Yes. Now, the bear claw is where you get that caramel. Not delicious or what?
Yeah, that's like the take on turtles, those chocolate turtles.
It is. It is totally a take on turtles. So it's one of my absolute favorite item in the shop, but the bear claw without the chocolate. I like just the pecans and the caramel.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely wonderful.
Mm.
And then, of course, my second favorite are those glazed pecans that are just absolutely to die for, that you can get addicted to with the first one.
Oh, yeah. Then we went to Shucks, A.W. Shucks.
Then you went to Shucks. Shucks is a one of my go-to places for lunch. It's a very laid-back place, very reasonable in price. The servings of food are ample. You never walk away hungry. Has, in my opinion, the best crab dip in the city of Charleston. And they have
oh,
these
that
lovely
was great.
Little.
Yes,
the crab dip was great, wasn't it? And
oh,
how about
yes.
those little gems, those hush puppies with that praline
the
butter?
The hush puppies with the praline butter?
Oh,
oh
my
God.
Was that to die for?
Oh,
it
yeah.
Was. Every single time I go in, one of the things that I think about the minute I step through the door is praline butter and hush puppies.
Yeah. And I think we had some fried green tomatoes, too.
You have fried green tomatoes as well. That's also one of those things that people kind of expect when they come south because, you know, tomatoes are one of those things that we eat a lot of and we grow a lot of. We have two growing seasons for tomatoes here in the area. So we usually have a lot of tomatoes. The only problem with a green tomato is it's exactly that. It is an unripened tomato that you have to sacrifice before it matures. And then you fry it. And sadly, if you serve that fried green tomato without any accompaniment, it's a lonely fried green tomato.
Right.
It has to have something with it. And did you enjoy that pepper relish?
Yes.
Yes. Did that not make that fried green tomato sing?
Oh, yeah.
It did. And did you like the Charleston red rice?
Oh, yeah. I forgot that I had that. I forgot.
That's
to put
right.
That
it's
in
a totally
there.
Different rice. It's not like any Spanish rice. It's not like dirty rice. It is a totally different thing because it's cooked with tomatoes, and it's just absolutely amazing. Doesn't have any extra water added, just the liquid from the tomatoes, and is all about every grain of rice absorbing tomato flavor. It's absolutely wonderful. One of my favorite things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also kind of, I was dying to taste the oysters, what a local oyster was, and I did.
Uh-huh.
I had one just to taste.
And were they wonderful?
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, see, this is the time of year when you don't really need other things to do because as long as we're harvesting oysters, if you can wrangle an invitation somewhere, you can go stand around with a big group of people at an oyster roast and have the best time you've ever had.
Ah, I bet.
And this is the time of year when we do that. Everybody socializes around the oyster table.
Wow.
It's a great time. A great, great time. And then your last
stop. And then our last place was Jim and Nick's.
That's exactly right. Did you enjoy the barbecue? Everybody has barbecue.
Now, let's see.
You had
The collard greens were too spicy for me.
That's because they put that little bit of pepper vinegar on it. They add a little bit of that before they serve. And generally speaking, you're going to have a little tiny bit of vinegar in the cooking process as well. And some people just like that pepper vinegar. I'm not a spicy person myself, so I like to spice my own.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to have a good handle on that. I've never been at a place there that I haven't been able to eat them. But a lot of people can't take spice at all.
Any kind of heat.
Yeah.
I needed to have a small glass of milk to ease the pain.
Yes. Yes. But they're perfectly cooked collard greens. I can attest to that. Being a connoisseur of collard greens and cooking a lot of collard greens myself, theirs are always perfectly cooked. But it's a long, low process. You have to cook them for a long time on very low heat to get collard greens to a point where people will want to eat them.
Yeah. I'm not going to cook them. I won't let other people cook them.
Well, you know, if you do cook them, everybody in your neighborhood will know what you are cooking. They have this very distinctive smell that alerts everyone near you that you're cooking collard greens.
Okay.
But that doesn't affect the taste. They're still very good.
I'm glad to hear that. Now,
Did you like the biscuit?
Mm-hmm.
It's really a muffin, but to me it has every bit of flavor that a biscuit would have.
Yeah.
It's just an extraordinary little biscuit.
One
We've
of
taken
the
entire
things,
tour. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the other things that I did have in terms of food down there to make sure was the she crab soup. I had it in three different places.
Really? So tell me where you had your she crab soup.
Well, the first place I had the she crab soup was at Amon's. Amon's.
Okay.
Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, first I thought no one was going to top him.
Uh-huh, and where did you go after that?
Because what I liked about it was that instead of lumps of the crab meat, they were, like, shredded. So
oh, yeah.
So you had a lot of...
It's like a bisque,
like,
almost. It's very, very smooth. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be lumpy crab. So where did you go next for
The second
crab?
Place that I had... I was at the Francis Marion Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the, because I was there to actually taste the shrimp and grits that they serve there
mm-hmm.
in a martini glass.
Yes.
And then I was asking the chef about the she crab soup. So he brought out she crab soup.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just as good, just soupier,
mm-hmm.
and then little pieces of lump meat, lump crab.
Mm-hmm.
in it, kind of as a garnish.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like either of them. They were both different. And at the third place, I went to Henry's.
Mm-hmm.
And I had theirs. And again, it was just, again, delicious and different. So
it's
I
rather
wouldn't say
like...
you should go to one of them particularly.
Well, and I would agree with you there, but you missed the best she crab soup in the city of Charleston, so you'll
oh,
have
no,
to come
where?
Back to that. 82 Queen Street, the best, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
The soup is silky, it's wonderful, but they also bring to your table a small decanter of sherry so that you can top your soup with the sherry and really get the full pleasure of she crab soup. And
well, I did
wonderful.
Notice that. I did notice that all three places put sherry on the top.
Yes, yes, they do. But at 82 Queen Street, you get the pleasure of sherrying as much as you want with your
oh,
little decanter. But it's just absolutely wonderful, and you feel so, you know, you feel so special because you're sitting there with this lovely bowl of soup before you, that is just so silky to the taste. And then you have this little decanter of sherry there that you can, you know, add a little bit and realize, oh, that's very nice. Let's add a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really wonderful.
Now, let me ask you, aside from talking about food, you do talk about some history, don't you?
Yes, we do. We talk about Charleston. We talk about the fact that, you know, as an English colony, when the English arrived, that they settled twice. We talk about the fact that Charleston was a walled city and known as the Holy City. So we do bring in history of the city of Charleston, which is very important because a lot of people don't really understand how important Charleston is in the grand scheme of things. In the colonies, Charleston was a premier city. It was small, yes, but it was a port and the most active port in the colonies at the time. It was where the South began. It's where one war essentially started, the war between the states, but it was also the location of the first decisive victory of the Revolution. So much history of Charleston is what laid groundwork for the establishment of the colonies. And that's why so many people enjoy coming to Charleston. Not only that, the fact that the city very intentionally back in the 1920s decided to preserve the history of the city by preserving the structures in the city, which is the true test of Charleston. How long can you survive when you intentionally decide to save old structures? And
right.
So far we've been doing pretty well.
Oh, yeah. By the way, when I was there, the first night I stayed at the Governor's Mansion Inn, or Governor's Inn.
Yes, over on Broad Street.
The second night I was at 2 Meeting Street.
Oh, lovely bed and breakfast.
What a place that was.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's where so many people want to stay, and you have to book your reservations about a year or so in advance, especially for certain times of the year, because especially around Spoleto time, that place is booked solid.
Hmm.
It's a very beautiful spot, though.
Yes.
It has the best view in town, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous view, everything. Went out, I took pictures outside, on the outside and all over there, too.
On the Battery at White Point Gardens, it is a perfect location.
Oh, yeah. And the third night I was at the Francis Marion Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just kind of hopped around, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's good. You got a good overview of the city in different locations. Very historic spot there at Francis Marion as well. Right across the street is Marion Square. But that particular area is kind of where the city is separated from the historic part of Charleston to the south. And then to the north, you have what was considered the suburbs of Charleston early on.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting location.
By the way, I also went to the synagogue. It's like one of the oldest synagogues
on Hazel
in the United States.
Kahale Kadosh Beth Elohim?
Yes.
Yes, it's a beautiful. It's beautiful. The synagogue is absolutely beautiful.
And it's
the oldest reformed in the country.
Oldest reformed, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like, did you know anything about, like, the history of that?
It was back in the 1860s. We had one of the major fires in Charleston, 1861. The church was constructed right after that. So it's, as far as the building is concerned, it's in the 1860s. But in terms of the congregation itself, Jewish population in Charleston actually started back in the early 1700s when a very nice group of Sephardic Jews arrived in Charleston, established the largest Jewish population in the country, in the colonies at the time. And that's how the Jewish population started in Charleston. We have a very rich Jewish population in the city of Charleston.
And no
kosher. A very, very active community.
And no kosher restaurants. No kosher delis.
Isn't that kind of odd?
Yeah. You'd think there'd be a kosher deli. You'd think there'd be a place I can get a tongue sandwich.
Well, now, did you try Ted's Butcher Shop?
No, I didn't.
Ted's might have tongue, I don't know, but Ted does a lot of things that a lot of other people don't, and I guess, you know, maybe Craig Deal from Cyprus will one day decide to do something along the kosher line. We'll see. He just opened a new artisan meat share over on Smith Street, so.
Oh, yeah, that's
on Spring,
it's
on
by,
Spring Street. Yeah, 33 Spring Street. It's absolutely a wonderful place. I was just there on Sunday. And it's great. He makes all of his charcuterie in-house at Cypress, and then he takes it over to the meat share and sells it as deli meat, but he also makes sandwiches. So it's a sandwich shop, and you buy what you need to buy in terms of your deli meat here, and all handcrafted, which is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I think, like, time-wise, because of all the places I was going to, I didn't have time to get to that one. Because they're owned by, is it Blossom?
Magnolia's Blossom and Cypress and Artisan Meat Share. Yeah, they're all in the same corporate food group. So it's a big operation, but that little shop is doing very, very well. But you see, there's no way on earth you could have come here for a matter of days and done everything you need to do in Charleston. You're just going to have to plan several trips and just eat your way through the city like most people do. They make it, you know, they make it a mission. They come with an agenda, and they go about that agenda when they're here. I'm going here, here, and here. And what I don't get done this time, I'm going to come back and do the next time. So you'll be coming back.
I was also hit with weather that wasn't so great, too.
Yes, if you were here just a couple weeks ago, was it cold and wet?
Yes, it was the first day I came in, it was raining. The next couple of days, it was cold. And then in the middle of one day, when it was cold in the morning, it hit 70 in the afternoon.
Yes. Well, we had an almost 80-degree day yesterday.
Oh, my God.
That's how it can change here, and it can change on a dime. One day you've got 80 degrees, and the next day you might have 50. You just, you know, Mother Nature plays wacky tricks here in Charleston.
Do you get hit with hurricanes, though?
Well, the hurricane season is over. That ended on Sunday, November 30th. Starts on June 1st and goes for 6 months until November the 30th. So we put that to bed. We don't have to worry about that.
But
at least not for.
Do you tend to get hit with them badly or no?
This was a very, very mild year this year. We really didn't have much activity at all anywhere. So, you know, what they forecast never really panned out. But we're always on guard. In Charleston, being so heavily hit by Hugo in 1989, we have learned that the minute hurricane season starts on June 1st, you need to be fully prepared. So we actually begin preparing weeks before that, getting all the agencies in place so that we're prepared in the event that it hits early. And that way the whole season you're kind of skating. You're ready. You know what to expect, so you don't have to make plans at the last minute. But that's become a policy here that you prepare ahead of time because you never know when Mother Nature is going to, you know, whip it up, and before you know it, it's there, and you have to handle it.
So probably
it's one of those things we live with 6 months out of the year. And
so, yeah. So it probably if I come back, I should come back in, like, May?
May is a good time. Actually, if you want to have the perfect time, March is the perfect time.
Really?
March is a lovely time in Charleston. The weather has gotten to a point where it's tolerable. You don't have to worry about it being too hot. You don't have to worry about it being too cold. And things are starting to bloom. It's the most beautiful time of the year in Charleston because you've got so much growth. You've got so many flowers. Everything is beautiful. When you move beyond March into April, April is also a good month. You start moving into May, then you start moving into the hot part of the year. By the time Spoleto arrives at the end of May and the early part of June, it's already getting fairly hot. And also at June 1st, you have to think about hurricane season from that point forward throughout the summer and into the early fall. Usually by the time October rolls around, you have less of a threat of any kind of hurricane activity. So it starts to get fairly nice, and by November, you know, you're moving into that nice fall time of the year. But that's usually when fall is beginning to end, but it's really the time when it really starts in Charleston.
I should plan for coming back there in March, huh?
March would be a very good time. It's the time of the year that Walter Cronkite said everyone should visit Charleston. March.
All right. I better look on the website of JetBlue to see if I could book it that price in advance.
Yes, that would be a good time of the year.
Okay. So is there do you just do the culinary tours or do you do a ghost tour?
No, I do history tours as well. I do ghost tours. I've been a guide for almost 27 years. There's very few things that I have not done in terms of the world of touring. So I don't do carriage tours. I don't do the dark side tour. But everything else I've had the privilege of doing over a course of time.
Okay, so I should recommend, like, if you're doing a history tour, where do you go?
That's kind of a walk around the city of Charleston, primarily in the residential area of the city where you actually get to see what living is like in Charleston. You walk by the houses, you see the little quaint gardens. It's really intense history. That starts at the Mills House Hotel, 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on the numbers, because everything hinges on the numbers of people on the tour. But 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock is the history tour. And then, of course, the culinary tour leaves every day at 9:30 and 2 o'clock, depending once again on numbers, but it runs twice a day, every day except Sunday. And then the Chef's Kitchen Tour, which is the one you did not do, right? You need to do that when you come back. The Chef's Kitchen Tour runs only on Friday morning.
Okay.
And begins at 9:45.
And what are you doing with that one?
That one is basically, in terms of the history and the food history, you're going to find a lot of spillover information there. But the locations are different. Less focus on food and focus on restaurants specifically and chefs, having one-on-one time with chef where he shares his expertise and talks about, you know, his restaurant and how he got into the, you know, world of food. So it's a really wonderful tour. People love it because they get to have that one-on-one time and understand the mind of a chef. They're very entertaining folks.
Are you eating as well or no?
Very little focus on food. We never advertise that as a tour that focuses on food. If you have food, it's a wonderful surprise.
Okay.
But we never bill it as being what the Savor Tour is, which is a focus on the food and tastings. That's what Savor the Flavor is all about.
Right. Okay. Well, now that we've talked about all this, I got to go make dinner.
I know. You're hungry now, aren't you?
Well, before you came on, we were talking about, there's a company that puts out these ice creams called Buzz Bar. They're ice cream pops of different flavors that contain alcohol.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hence the word Buzz Pop. I think that's wonderful.
Yes. So
are you going to have yourself a Buzz Pop?
Well, I don't. There's none left at the moment. I already had.
Well, yes, you better go get some dinner because you've got to absorb all that alcohol.
You're not kidding. Well, I totally appreciate your calling in and chatting with us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
And maybe when I come back down there, you'll take me on a different tour.
We'll do that. You look me up. You tell them that you want to meet me at least. I want to meet who I've been talking to.
Okay, yes.
So we'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay.
And you have a very happy holiday season.
Oh, yes, you too.
Thank you so much, dear. Have a
great
evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, so I am definitely tired. It's time for me to be eating. I need to have some din-din right now. So I'm going to end the show. What I was going to talk about was something that's local, so it really doesn't matter. But I'll write about it, and it's, you know, places, but people who just don't, you know, when somebody can't do their job right, and then you always get, you know, somebody I apologize, you know, like, it's like, that didn't do me, your apology doesn't help when you have hiring people who can't do the job. So I will be writing about this, but in the meantime, so everybody, have a happy day, evening, or whatever, and I got off. Yes, here it is. And till next time. Ta-ta for now.